Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Caravan of Garbage, where we're talking about Mad Max Fury Road.
Wow!
Finally.
Ah.
We crawled our way out of the 70s and 80s.
Yuck.
And into the modern era of 2015.
Oh, yuck, still a bit. But all right, I guess.
Why isn't... Don't you just wish everything was now?
I really do.
Yeah.
Oh, but now's bad too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And then if we go far enough into now... We get the post-apocalypse, don't we? Oh, that's yuck too, isn't it? You know?
I just long for an era. I don't know what it is.
Sure, absolutely.
But I miss it, or I wish it was here. You know?
Yeah. Look, if I lived to this post-apocalyptic future, I'd want to be known as the legendary guy who's having a bit of a lie down. You know? And no one ever bothers him.
No. Because he just seems, you're not bothering anyone.
That's right. People
respect it.
And they left him alone forever and he had a big old nap.
Yeah.
And then he woke up and he got a brunch. A brunch of gasoline and bullets.
And everybody likes him so much they left a like on this video, didn't they?
That's right.
Now, what I've noticed, and I've seen it in the comments on the other videos that we've done on this series, is that some people are fucking crawling over each other to let you know that they don't like this movie.
Really?
That this movie isn't actually very good.
Fury Road.
Yeah, which is like, okay, that's totally fine that you think that, but just calm down. We're proud of you that you have a very unique opinion.
That's right.
You don't have to like it. It's fucking incredible, by the way.
Yeah, I agree.
In my opinion.
That's right. I mean, it's not to say we won't make some lighthearted fun at it
sure.
in this upcoming video. But yeah, it's really good. Now, when this was announced... I didn't think it was going to be any good.
No.
Maybe that's the reason for these comments here. Maybe they like me, they went, from mastermind George Miller,
Happy Feet, and then, Babe 2.
And then it came out and they're like, well, I can't admit that I was wrong. But I was wrong.
Yeah.
It's good.
I was right, because I always knew.
You didn't know anything.
I might have thought about it for a time. Mm. No, I just remember this stalling for decades.
Mm, sure, yeah.
And I have a very condensed version of that. Process if you'd like to hear it.
Okay, sure.
You can say no.
If you want a really long, very extended version of that, you can read the book Blood, Sweat and Chrome.
Yes.
Yeah, which is a series of interviews, a sort of snippets all put together into a big book about the creation of Mad Max Fury Road, but don't read it now.
No.
It's too long.
Yeah, it's too long.
Which is video. It doesn't have any little jokes either.
No, probably not. And this is free. Unless you're at bigsandwich.co. We'll talk about that later. Okay, so Mel Gibson was initially going to return. And George Miller's initial idea for this in 1987 was, could I pull off one continuous chase over the entire time?
Yeah.
Which is mostly what this is. They stop for a minute sometimes and go, bloody hell, I'm tired.
Boy, we've been in a big chase. This has been hectic.
Bloody hell. So the film actually entered pre-production in the early 2000s and was set to star Mel Gibson, who would return.
America's Mel Gibson. I don't think that'd work.
No. That's what they said. They said, this is going to work. And Sigourney Weaver was apparently considered for the female lead, which makes more sense considering they're closer in age.
That's true.
At this point. I want to talk about Max's age in this as well. It's kind of...
Okay,
it's
sure.
a little bit confusing.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Production on this, though, was indefinitely postponed after September 11 caused the American dollar to collapse against the Australian dollar. It basically doubled the budget of the movie.
A tragic time, but also, oh my God, do you remember?
You could get so many... American shoes
you better
for a reasonable price.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
There's an interesting article that people might want to check out. It's an oral history of Mad Max.
Oh, yes.
Via the New York Times. This is via production designer Colin Gibson. He said, I was in Namibia, which is where this initially was going to film, mm-hmm. and then it moved to Broken Hill.
That's right.
But then Broken Hill got rained out and flowers grew, so they moved it back to Namibia. That's a whole other thing.
Uh-huh.
That was over like 10 years that happened, by the way. I was in Namibia in 2003 when I got a call to stop spending money. I don't know whether the studio decided to reroute their money back into the Iraq war or if it was the email I got from Mel Gibson's wife asking me how many Muslims there may or may not be in Namibia and therefore how interested she may or may not be in the whole family coming to visit.
Wow.
She might have been like, are there a lot of Muslims there? Because I would love that. And I want to bring my family.
Sounds like an accurate statement there.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Exactly.
Or maybe it was Colin's own wife saying, stop buying so many American shoes. Stop spending your money on those shoes.
Now, of course, we do have to address the reason Mel Gibson is not in this movie. Age is definitely a factor. Even he himself said, I have aged out of this role.
And that's the only thing he said.
That's right.
It's the only statement he's made of any kind to any news outlet or authority figure
yep.
in years.
Maybe a phone call to his ex-wife, maybe a voice message. Don't even worry about any of that. So, yeah, and George Miller's even said, listen, because of...
Listen.
Listen.
I'm a doctor. Listen up.
And they're still friendly, but he said because of what Mel Gibson was going through in the 2000s. Mm-hmm. He's like, we're going to move away from this and we're gonna recast.
And by this, I mean you. We're moving away from this. Yes. This Mel Gibson.
But look, despite all of that, Mel Gibson went to the premiere. He's seen it. He loves this movie. So, you know, it is what it is. And if you're like, well, what did Mel Gibson even do? Show me evidence. You fucking look into it. All right? Why don't you do your own research,
okay?
Why don't
you do your own research, man with a funny voice? Well, I don't do that. Well, you should.
Also, bear in mind that nobody's upset who was involved in this movie. They're all fine with Mel Gibson not doing this movie, including Mel Gibson.
I mean, it's against the spirit of Mad Max for nobody to be upset during the making of this movie, but all right.
Oh, no, there's people upset. We'll talk about that. Fury Road also at one point was going to be adapted into a 3D anime because, of course, George Miller did the Happy Feet movie, so he had moved into the 3D environment.
Oh.
But then
we could have got a Studio Ghibli Mad Max.
Oh, my God.
Here's what that would look like. Now, we can't use AI for this, so somebody's going to have to draw it by hand. Here it is. Amazing.
Maybe we could use AI just this one time, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But we'll say we didn't.
Okay.
So, yeah, it eventually started filming in the early 2010s and made its way to screens in 2015. What I like about this one as well is, mm-hmm. and some people don't like this, and I think it's actually fairly valid despite my criticisms of their criticisms earlier, it is a different beast from the other Mad Max movies.
Yes, uh-huh.
And I guess they're all different from each other, but this one feels very different. But it does have one thing in common with the other movies. There's not a shred of CGI in this movie, Mason.
Not a single little bit.
This film is often held up as like, this is what you can do with practical effects and all of that and stunt work. And that is true. There is a lot of mostly real stunts and crashes and people and all of that. But, you know,
there's no cars, for example. They CGI'd all those in.
That's right, yeah.
There's no actors?
No, there's
CGI'd
no,
those in.
No actors in this at all. But look, there is a lot of CGI in this. If you look at the storm that they ride through, the first crash that Max and Nux have in the car, that's obviously CGI. All the night shooting in this was day for night, so they had to change the sky to a night sky and all of that. They erase tire tracks because, you know, if you do multiple takes, you look at the ground and you can see, oh, there's four sets of tracks here. They did this four times.
That's right.
Yeah.
And when there was only one set of tracks, that's when Jesus was carrying him in a V8 Commodore.
That's right. And visual effects supervisor Andrew Jackson said that there are over 2,000 visual effects shots in this movie. So, yeah, there you go. Aesthetically, how do you feel about this? Because George Miller...
Orange.
Yeah, orange. George Miller went, I want colourful and I want beautiful. He thought if people are living in this world, they would make the most of it. You know, you try to make it as visually appealing with whatever old crap you've got kind of lying around.
I would say colourful and I would say biblical.
Oh, I like that.
Like when the storm's
rolling. You know
who
else would like that?
In,
Jesus. Jesus would like that.
He would love that. You know, it's very Ten Commandments, a lot of this.
Oh,
a lot
yeah.
of the action sequences. And just... It's got a Return to Oz vibe, a lot of it.
Sure,
did you
yeah.
feel like that? You know, there's the porcupine cars.
Yep.
There's those weirdo stilt walkers. What's
oh,
their
yeah.
deal?
Love that.
Get over it.
They are over it.
No, I mean, but they're just wandering around on those stilts for attention, I reckon.
Oh, okay, yeah. You know? So someone stops and goes, oh, what's this about? And they go, you wouldn't understand.
That's right.
We've been working on this for a while. It's not something you can just tell you.
Yeah.
yeah.
I love that altar of steering wheels that they've
oh,
got.
Oh, yeah, that's
in
great.
The Citadel. I'm loving it. I'm loving the look.
Yeah, I think the idea that the way that the war boys operate, they're just these chromed up lunatics. This whole society is built on this like false religion and deity and all of that, like on the scraps of the old world. I love all of that. And this is just one community.
Yeah.
Like what else is is out there?
Exactly. You know? What kind of hellish post-apocalyptic citadel has been built on the ruins of the Bell Street McDonald's, for example? A lot of hot rod heads over there, aren't there? You know, what's that turned into? We've made it with AI. Here it is.
Mason, we're not allowed to do that.
Like, it's just a picture of the Bell Street McDonald's then in the car park. There it is.
How do you feel about Tom Hardy in this?
Unplaceable accent.
Yes.
He's the king of that. He's the king of the strange accent for no reason. I feel he could do an Australian accent.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He's done this accent.
Just muttering about, rolling around in the desert.
Do you think that is a deliberate choice to make people wonder if he is in fact the original Mad Max or if he's a different guy?
He is, which we talked about last week. But I don't know. I think it was probably just an acting choice. A lot of this was also dubbed after because you got the roar of the engine. You got people screaming at each other. Mm-hmm. You got to kind of... So it was redubbed, the entire thing, for the most part. Yeah. Do you want some finalists for who was going to play this role?
Yes.
Okay, so we've got Armie Hammer.
Dodged a bullet there.
Armie Hammer.
Yes.
Do you think he wouldn't have had a good time?
Yeah, he wouldn't have had a good time. It's like, it's very dry out there, you know. Chapped lips he would have had. And he needs those lips.
Yeah, he does. Jeremy Renner, Michael Fassbender, Joel Kinnaman, Heath Ledger was apparently very close but passed away. Eric Bana and Eminem apparently, but he didn't want to leave the United States of America.
And he didn't want to shave his head.
And he didn't want to shave his head. No. Is he a shaved head guy?
Sort of.
Yes.
He's a crew cut guy.
He is a crew cut guy, yeah. And famously, this is in that book that you mentioned as well, Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron, they clashed throughout the entirety of this 8-month shoot. It was a real situation, let's just say.
Oh, yes.
Here's a little story, Mason.
Go on.
Apparently it culminated on one particular day, and this is after a long period of them icing each other out or arguing. Apparently they'd be in the front seat of the truck and everyone's just in the back just like watching these two just bicker at each other.
And Tom Hardy said, "Charlize, I've had it with you," and he ripped her arm right off. And George Miller went, something in this. Reattach that arm. We'll rip her other arm off. We'll put a prosthetic on it.
Cinematographer Mark Golinick said, on one day at 11 o'clock, Charlize Theron was sitting in the war rig with the full makeup and costume, and she'd been doing that for 3 hours. Tom Hardy turns up late and he walks casually across the desert. So she jumps out of the war rig and she starts swearing her head off at him, saying, "Fine this fucking $100,000 for every minute that he's held up the crew. And how disrespectful are you?" She was right. Full rant. She screams it out. It was so loud. It was so windy. He might have heard some of it, but he charged up to her and went, "What did you say to me?" It was quite aggressive. She felt really threatened.
He used the Bane voice. "What did you say to me?"
She felt really threatened, and that was a turning point because then she said, "I want someone as protection." So she then had a producer that was assigned to be with her the whole time. Now, they've apparently made up since, and Tom Hardy actually apologized to George Miller in a press conference for this, saying, "I didn't know what you were doing, and I..."
"I couldn't hear you over the wind." Yeah.
And he said he didn't realize that George had a lot of this in his head. And he said, "I was in way over my head. The pressure on both of us was overwhelming at times. What she needed was a better, perhaps a more experienced partner in me. And that was something that can't be faked. I'd like to think now that I'm older and uglier, I could rise to that occasion." And maybe we'll see that in a future Mad Max movie, Mason.
Maybe.
So there you go. A complaint of this I've also seen, Mason.
Go on.
I wouldn't even say it's a complaint.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a complaint, though.
Okay.
Is that this isn't a Mad Max story. But I think that with the exception of the first one, or even elements of that, none of them are really Mad Max's story. There's a thing happening, and then Mad Max shows up and goes, "What's this? I don't want to be involved. Wait a minute, now I'm involved. Oh no, I'm in a chase and a fight."
He's just passing through. I think that's a fundamental building block of a lot of a lot of
Man
TV
with
shows.
No Name.
No, Man with No Name, the Incredible Hulk TV series, the Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno, Kung Fu, all those series. It's about
Quantum Leap.
Quantum Leap is
Sliders.
Yes.
Mm. Sequest DSV.
Sequest DSV.
Probably not that one. Earth 2.
Earth 2, yeah.
Probably not that one either.
No, probably not that one either. Cleopatra 2525.
Probably not that one.
Probably not that one, honestly. Probably not that one. Farscape. Maybe we're back
on
track.
Yeah.
But it's a staple of that. He's just passing through. I love that. He's the point of view character. He's the one bloke.
Yeah, like well, he's learning about this particular society as we are.
Yeah.
He does actually kill more than Furiosa, though. He kills 34 people and she kills 32. So, you know, not very feminist of this movie, is it?
Still a man's world after all, I guess. Except for all those men who are dead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of them got crushed out of cars, but the cars fell at them, didn't they?
It sure did.
Yeah. I get the sense, though, and I think this is true, that this mostly didn't change from when Mel Gibson was on board. Because Max in this, let's say he's about Tom Hardy's age, 40 at max, let's say, but realistically a bit younger. It feels like he is a relic from a bygone era. Mm-hmm. Like he should be 60.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Whereas the people that he runs into that remember the old world and all of that, they're like withered old crones.
Exactly, yeah.
And all of that. And he's just like, I'm 32.
Yeah. And I remember the 70s. You go down the milk bar for a Big M.
Yeah.
But all these people are like, well, we're 70 years old and we remember,
I remember
the green, the green place. Yeah, I remember the green place. It was called Westerfolds Park. All right?
That's so specific, Mason.
So specific.
Yeah. Also, you got to remember that these stories, they're campfire stories.
Yeah.
Somebody telling the legend of Mad Max, and maybe he was 60, and this is just how the story has been passed down.
Exactly. Maybe you want to make him sexy.
Yeah, and maybe he's made immortal through radiation or something, you know?
Oh, perfect, yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell. Online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
Because that's how it would work in this universe.
Yeah.
All the other people who've been affected by radiation have become...
hideous ghouls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, maybe you got the same radiation that affected the brides.
Oh, yeah.
Kept them young and beautiful.
Maybe it is.
Side note.
Yep.
Their names are, I don't know if you know this,
mm-hmm.
Their names in the movie are Toast, Capable, The Dag, Cheeto, and Angerad. But I think if you wanted to make them authentically Australian, they should have been named Barbecue, Pizza, Cheese and Bacon, Savory, and Chicken Crimpy. And no, I will not explain that. It will appear on the screen as if by magic.
I love that. I tell you what, though, one of the great villains.
Yes.
Hugh Keyes Byrne returning, RIP, by the way. But just the design, incredibly gross, like the fake plastic muscles over his horrible bloated husk. His voice, like there's obviously some Darth Vader in that with the breathing and all of that.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about that guy is there's a really kind of twisted way that he loves his family.
Mm.
Like he flips a car at one point to avoid running over one of his brides.
Uh-huh.
And I know that's also because she's pregnant and he's obsessed with like a legacy and children and all of that. But just a very complex and awful human being.
He's already got a bunch of cool children.
Yeah, what are you doing,
just
man?
Just a bunch of cool cats.
You got a big guy, you got a little guy.
Yep. Angus Sampson is there.
Angus Sampson's there.
I don't think he's one of your kids, but he's there. He's in it.
He's in there.
He's the guy that says flame grilled whopper, I think.
Is he?
Maybe.
You might be thinking of Samuel Johnson.
I am thinking of Samuel Johnson.
And yeah, so I just love all of that.
Mm.
He was, of course, going to be Martian Manhunter at one point when George Miller was going to do Justice League. And Megan Gale, who's in this, is going to be Wonder Woman.
Oh, I also like the fact that in Morton Joe's mask, he can
like
open the jaw.
Like horse teeth in it?
Yeah, he can open the jaw like a gape when he's sad. Remember? When his bride dies, he's like, no, I'll just set this to sad.
Like, now, of course, as mentioned, this is one long chase. And director George Miller, he told cinematographer John Seal to keep the main actor centered in the screen so the viewer's eye didn't have to search around to find kind of what was happening. And I was wondering, like, why does this flow so much? And it's because of that. And the editor of this, Margaret Sixel, who's actually George Miller's wife.
Oh, how'd you get that job?
She applied. There was a process, Mason.
Okay.
It's the man's world, you know that. Mm-hmm. But George Miller said the reason he gave it to her,
it was fair, Mason,
despite her.
What if the quote is here? Yes, she's my wife.
I don't think that's fine.
I just rolled over in bed. I said, you want to edit Mad Max? I've never done any editing before, but I'll do it now.
Yeah. Well, she hadn't edited an action movie, but he said because if a guy did it, it would look like every other action movie. This also won an Academy Award, among many things, for editing. So there you go. But I think... this is an easy edit if it's all in center of frame. Okay. Anybody could edit this movie, okay. I think, in my opinion.
Oh, could you have done it?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't, though, did you?
Well,
what were you doing in 2015? Hanging out at the Bell Street Maccas, I bet.
I was on the other side of the bed. He just happened to turn to his wife.
Okay, right.
I'm like, fine, I guess. I didn't want to do it anyway.
Yeah.
I like also how this movie peppers in moments of happiness. Mad Max gets his jacket back. Mm-hmm. He gets his car back briefly, and then he's like, ugh. Got crushed again.
Yeah.
Not the same car from the other movies, by the way. He rebuilds it in the video game in between, which is sort of linked to this and sort of not or whatever. Yeah, I like all of that. It's like, here's a bag of seeds. Oh, a bunch of people got run over, including Megan Gale. That's sad, actually.
Was it worth it in a way?
Yeah, in a way, yeah. Mm. And the stunt work in this, my goodness. And I love this. Guy Norris, who we talked about when we covered The Road Warrior, he did that stunt where he hits the buggy and then he flips multiple times bent the pin in his leg
from a
previous injury. He came back for this, and apparently it's the last stunt that he ever did. He got to roll Mad Max's car at the start of the film.
Oh,
it's got a little it's got a little explosive jack in the bottom that comes out and rolls the car. And just, I love that. It's such a great car crash as well.
Yeah.
It's really good. I love the metronome guys bouncing back and forth. There was a moment, and I've seen this movie like a bunch, but I hadn't seen it in a few years, where you see Mad Max swing past and then this just enormous explosion goes off behind him.
Uh-huh.
And I just went, Jesus Christ, like fucking unreal. I just, it's just an amazing achievement. I like
to have a man in front of an explosion.
Yeah, no, it's not just that, Mason.
No, that's how you describe it. Sounds pretty average to me.
Now, look, people might want to, you know, to know about the specifics of the cars and all of that, and I've just written here, I can't, I won't, I'm not a cars guy, but there is a great YouTube channel, it's called Mad Max Bible, where it covers so many things Mad Max related, including timelines and different storylines and cancelled stuff and whatever. So he's got a great video on cars, among other things. If people want to check that out, I would recommend it. And did you know about the alternate ending of this, Mason? I know that you don't. Lucky I'm ready.
Maybe I do. Hang on. Max.
My name's Matthew Max.
Max goes to the shops.
There's no shops, Mason.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe there is a shop, but it's just not here. I don't think there's a shop here.
Does Max die?
No.
Oh.
The first idea was that he would go up on the platform with Furiosa and he'd found a new home.
Ah.
And they changed that. And I'm glad that they did, because I think it works better as just like, well, I'm off.
Yeah.
That's who he is. You know, he doesn't really stay in one place. And when he does, something terrible happens often. Yeah. And why not go somewhere new and something terrible happen somewhere else, you know?
I'm going to go because maybe out there somewhere is my wife. Max, no. No, I think she's in the next town. I think the last time I saw her, she said she'd be in the next town over. Max. Good luck, Max. Off you trot.
Off you trot. You know what it's time for?
What's it time for?
Mad trivia. Trivia, trivia.
Love that.
Here we go. Dana Grant, the stunt double for Charlize Theron, and Dane Grant, the stunt double for Tom Hardy.
What?
They met and fell in love on this movie. And in March of 2013, they got married. So despite the animosity on set between the two leads,
yep.
Two stunt performers, they'd be kissing and getting married.
Do you have the information there? Were their surnames both Grant before they got married?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I did look into that. I was hoping you wouldn't ask.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's just assume they're the Grant Grants now.
Awesome. The girl that Max sees in his vision, commonly believed to be his daughter, is in fact Glory the Child, who can be seen in the comic series. There's a bunch of prequel comics leading up. Okay. So I remember seeing this and being like, oh, this must be a different guy because he didn't have a daughter. He had a son and all of that.
Yeah, I guess I just assumed it was like a metaphor for all the people he couldn't save.
Yeah, sure,
like an
yeah.
amalgam of all the kids and all the...
I don't want a metaphor. I want a montage of all the people he didn't save.
She should have been wearing a name badge.
I will remember you. He just pauses for 40 seconds at a time as that just rolls in his brain. When 78-year-old Melissa Jaffa, who played Vuvalani, was asked why she took part in this film, she said, when the role came along, I thought, well, I won't get another chance like this before I die. And that's why I took it. It was absolutely wonderful. She's one of the women with the seeds and she's on the bikes.
Oh, yeah, right.
Apparently also she did all her own stunts. I mean, as if you wouldn't. 78, and they're like, do you want to do this? Yeah, of course. Because if you die, like, who cares at this point? You're 78, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's totally fine.
You'd go down and you'd be in the IMDb trivia, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
This lady was exploded and all the seeds went up like popcorn.
And it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
When Max is tied to the front of Nux's car, there is a skull with a pilot's cap on it and goggles above him.
That's the guy.
It's one of the gyro pilot copter guys.
It's one of the Bruce Spencers.
It's one of the Bruce Spencers, probably the first one. And we're going to mention the Doof Warrior.
That's
course.
Iota.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
Australian singer-songwriter.
Correct.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of origin kind of elements to this character, and it's a mix because often on these movies George Miller will do an extensive backstory and then the actor will come up with their own thing. But the basic story is that he was blind since birth and he was rescued by a Morton Joe who made him a mask from the dried skin of his murdered mother.
Oh.
And that's like an homage to her, apparently.
I would have just told him he was beautiful the way he was, but I'm built different, I guess.
You don't know you're beautiful.
that's exactly right.
He's not beautiful, though. He's hideous.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
I guess he would have figured that out eventually.
Yeah.
Even after I lied to him.
Just people going, Now look, this has been, I feel, sparse with local references. Mm-hmm. You know, we could always use more, so here's one for you. Australian showbiz legend Bert Newton was one of the first character actors cast when it was filming in Broken Hill.
Oh.
When it moved to Namibia, though, he dropped out to play Franklin D. Roosevelt in the Australian stage revival of Annie. So there you go.
That's terrific.
Big old Bert Moonface Newton was going to be in this.
Okay.
Mm. Right. And hopefully the only Newton.
Okay. Was he going to be the guy with the metal nose?
Yeah, maybe. That's
John Howard.
But not the John Howard that we hate, the other John Howard.
That's right.
From Sea Change and other things.
Mm-hmm. If I can just interject here, in case people wondering, if you had a bit of a rewatch, they're saying fang it. F-A-N-G-it, which is an Australian slang for make the car go more faster.
That's right.
In case you would think they were saying a slur, they're not saying a slur.
Push down on the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a bunch of language in this where it's like, I didn't really catch that. I should watch this with subtitles.
Uh-huh.
But you don't need to. This was designed to watch as a silent film and then also to be in black and white at one point.
Uh-huh.
Black and chrome edition, anybody? Apparently that's something George Miller wanted to do initially. He was like, let's do it in black and white. And the studio was like, we don't want that.
Yeah.
Don't do it. But the box office for this, on a budget of about $185 million-ish, I mean, who knows? Because it also... took like 20 years to make, I don't really know.
George Miller's time is very valuable. He's turning it over in his brain, you know.
Boy, is he, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got to hire Bert Newton for a bit.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
Mr.
right.
Entertainment, yep, Mr. Yep. Moonface.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's not cheap.
No.
Might have gotten Don Lane involved at some point.
Might have got Don Lane involved. Mm. Might have got Steve Vizard involved.
Might have got Steve Vizard. Might have gotten Peter Moon involved. He was always telling people, don't be a Wally with water.
He was, wasn't he?
He should have gotten into Morton Josier. He was being a Wally with water.
They might have got the Life Be In It cartoon guy to be involved. Whatever his name was. Mm. The return on this, though, was $380 million, which isn't huge. There has been some discussion about, did this movie even break even?
Oh.
Almost certainly since then, mm-hmm. and Warner Brothers, you know, moving forward with various spin-offs and potentially sequels, then yeah, that is probably the case. But I always just assumed this was made like nearly $1 billion.
Yeah, it feels like a big hit movie.
Yeah.
But it's somehow a cult classic. How did that happen?
Well, look, people have also been asking, where is Mad Max 5? Now, initially, this movie was going to shoot back-to-back with Furiosa. That was going to be a Charlize Theron-led movie. Mm-hmm. That was obviously changed. But there's been a few reasons why Mad Max 5 has been delayed. And one of the reasons is, in 2017, Miller filed a lawsuit against Warner Brothers, suing the studio for $7 million in unpaid Fury Road earnings. Uh-huh. He accused executives of behaving in a high-handed, insulting, or reprehensible manner and destroying their relationship with his production company. Warner Brothers fired back that Miller shouldn't be receiving those earnings because they wanted to make a 100-minute PG-13 movie and he had delivered a 120-minute R-rated movie. This was settled in 2019, so it's all been smoothed over. But ultimately, the studio gets to decide, right? They could have... Though he owns Mad Max, so maybe he's allowed to be like, no, this is R-rated get stuffed, mate.
Get stuffed.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
I'm giving you the middle finger, but the Australian way. not with the other knuckles up. That's weird. Americans
with
do it like that.
With your thumb out? What's the Australian way?
It's like that.
Just tight.
It's just tight.
Just a tight
that's
fist.
It's high and tight. But Americans do it like that.
Yeah.
Americans do it like that. It's weird. Maybe it's a regional thing.
It's regional, yeah. I don't know.
It hurts to do it. I like it.
Yeah. The thing is, Warner Brothers, they actually have a genuinely popular property here on their hands. And you'd hate for them to ruin this relationship. But it's not like they've got a bunch of fucking morons heading up their company.
Warner Brothers? No, I don't think so.
Anyway, though, Tom Hardy is contracted for more Mad Max movies. The next one is supposed to be Mad Max The Wasteland.
Oh.
So we'll have to see. I think he will return. I'd like him to. I like his kind of sputtering, mumbling, stumbling version of Mad Max. Though there is a part of me...
I think he should have the Australian accent.
That I agree with. They changed the actor in the video game. Do you remember? They released the trailer and he was American and everyone went, no. Mm. And they went, okay, fine. And they went back and re-recorded the entire thing.
Yeah. I think he should be like, I just remembered, I'm Australian.
I've been doing this wrong.
Or the narrator should say that. The narrator should be like, Max remembered he was Australian. So he talks like this now.
Yeah.
We will not elaborate further.
Yeah. But I think also, and I don't think it's going to happen, like an old grizzled Mad Max movie could be kind of interesting.
An old man Max?
Old Mad Max. Old man Mad Matthew Max.
That's right.
You know? Anyways, if you liked this, guess what?
What?
You can actually head over to BigSandwich.co if you do want to support us, where these always go up early. Here's actually a hint towards the movies we're going to be covering from next week. Whoa, it's Planet of the Apes, Mason.
Whoa.
But the good ones.
I love that.
In addition to that, we've got bonus movie commentaries. We've got video game Let's Plays. We do a comic book club. We're actually going to be looking at all the Mad Max games on there and the comics as well. So if you are interested, that will be up there over the next few weeks.
Love that.
It's been very interesting diving into the world of Mad Max, and that's exclusively there, that stuff, if you do want to check it out.
Stray's own Mad Max.
Stray's own Mad Max. He's ours, except when he isn't, because he's never technically been played by an Australian, really.
The good ones are ours.
Yeah. Which is all of them?
I think so.
Yeah, for on the most part,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, why not?
Also, we have a podcast. It's called The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. That comes out every Monday, Sunday at BigSandwich.co. Of course, we're going to have an episode on Mad Max Furiosa.
Oh, I'm excited for that.
Me too. Do you think it'll be good?
Yep.
If it's half as good as Mad Max Fury Road, I'll be mad, because that wouldn't be good enough.
Not good enough.
Just a movie that's okay, and I want that. I want a really good movie.
What if it's as good as The Phantom Menace, which you seem to think is good?
I've never said that. I've never said that.
Okay.
Prove it in a court of law. All right, thanks, everybody.
Grab that gem, you guys. 5 alternate names for the brides.
Here we go.
the big pineapple, mm-hmm. the big kangaroo, mm-hmm. the big cane toad, mm-hmm. the golden gumboot, and the big bullock. What do you think about those?
Those are terrific.
Thank you.
And thank you to Ben and Lawrence for the edit.
Thank you, Ben and Lawrence.
Mad Max.
Mad Max.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.